Now, the reason I point that out to you, because what is going to happen is going to shock Catholics. I'm going to read something that's going to absolutely shock you. So you need to be ready for it. Just buckle down. It's in the Bible. All right? How many of you believe the Bible? All right. So please, let's stay with the Bible because that's what's important. So here we go. Now we're going to fast forward to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Pentecost was a feast. And as we know, it started way back there when Israel was being released out of captivity from Egypt and the eldest or firstborn son died. Remember that? And the spirit of death came over and they had to put the blood on the lintels. And when the spirit saw the blood, it passed over. And then Moses was said, from now onwards, you're going to do a feast and he's going to call it the Passover. And it was a shadow and a type of Jesus. And you know, Jesus died on Passover. Okay? Right there. So now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Say all. One accord. One place. Notice they were all together. One accord. Same mind. In unity. In full agreement. And they were in one place. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. So they heard the sound that came in. And it was just like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the whole house. And then there appeared unto them. So now they began to see with their eyes. They heard something with their ears. Now they're seeing something with their eyes. Separated tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. It sat upon each of them. So no one in the group, and we'll find out later, well, you know there's 120 people in the upper room if you didn't know that. At this time, and every single person had the same experience, including Mary and Jesus' brothers. So these tongues of fire came and sat on them, and they could see the tongues of fire. Now, do you remember John the Baptist, when referring to Jesus? He said, I'm baptizing you with water, but when he comes, he's going to baptize you with what?
Fire.
The Holy Spirit and
fire.
He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, how many of you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Come and see your hand. All right. Amen to that. Now, what you don't realize, and we can't see with our natural eyes, is that sitting on right on your head is a tongue of fire. It can be seen in the spirit realm, and their eyes were open to it that day. So demons and Satan see that whenever you show up. When you walk in the room, the demon says, oh, yes, another fireball. Oh, here's another guy filled with tongues. It's coming out of his head. It's all over him. And I went, they begin to quake and they begin to shake and they begin to say, don't do anything. Don't do anything bad to me. But you can't hear that. But you see, inside of you, you may be thinking, oh no, there's a demon here. I can sense a demon here and I'm afraid. Not as afraid as the devil. You have got to understand something. He sees that flame. Wherever you go, that flame is not diminished. You can't see it, but you got to believe it's there. The Bible says right here, the fire came and sat upon them. And verse 4 says, and they were all filled. Some were filled. Only half. The righteous ones. Only the 12 disciples. Only the woman. Only the men. How many? You notice all were filled? Every single person in the room was filled. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Turn and tell your neighbor, Mary was filled with the Spirit. She's in the room. She's in the room. And Bible says everybody got it. It didn't say excluding Mary. Everybody got filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, are you with me? Are we on one page? All right. Now watch this. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Mary was a tongue talker. She was Pentecostal. Before the Catholic Church was born, Mary was Pentecostal. Are you out there? You gone home? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And so were Jesus' brothers. They were all Pentecostal, charismatic, tongue-talking, hand-waving, preaching, jumping on the spot, praising God, crazy people. You're in good company. Amen? This is the group that's there. Now you see, listen carefully, you see, on that day, the Church of Jesus Christ was born, not a denomination, not a Pentecostal denomination, but the Church of Jesus Christ was born. Because then is when the Holy Spirit came into people for the very first time. Listen, it is the most important event in the Bible other than Jesus' birth. It is the most important visitation God will ever make that day. Because it was the Holy Spirit coming to earth, promised by Jesus, to fill the people, to cause them to be born again, and to come and indwell the people. It had never happened in 4,000 years since the human race had been in existence. God in us. We became the temple of the Holy Spirit. It was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The new birth had occurred, and with it, there was a sign. The first time this had ever happened in the earth, they began to speak with tongues. You listening to me? They began to speak with tongues. Mary began to speak with tongues. The 11 apostles began to speak with tongues. And all of the 120 people began to speak with tongues. That was the birth of the church. And my, how far we have drifted from the original prototype. Because today, if you say you talk in tongues, they go, "Oh, what? Whoa, whoa, whoa! You're a strange, you're a strange breed." People warned us about you. Not enough, because these are the people that have got the power. Now, the thing is this: God chose a prayer meeting to show up. He didn't hit them on the street around the fountain, where they're throwing in the money wishing. He hit them in the prayer meeting. But it wasn't just any prayer meeting. What was different about this prayer meeting? They were all in one accord, of one mind, in agreement, on the same page, all ready to go, all eager, seeking, waiting on God, together, expecting, hungry, and bam, here comes the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of meetings He loves to show up in. Things haven't changed. Huh? Holy Spirit likes to get moving. Things are moving here. These people were expecting God to move. They were in agreement. You know, Amos 3:3 says, how can two people walk together unless they be agreed? How can two people walk together unless they are agreed? You see, have you ever done those potato sack races where you put your leg and you got to jump along, or the ones where you tie the leg together and they still? And how funny is that? How funny is that? And what is so funny is because people are starting to get the same direction, but the timing is off and they can't do it. But you know what happens when people are trying to go the opposite direction? What happens when two people are together and they haven't made up their mind which direction? Don't you know you've got to go in the same direction if you're going to walk together? So there has to be an agreement. Husbands and wives, there has to be an agreement. You have to know where you're going. You've got to be in agreement with where you're going. All right? Two people have got to be in agreement. And the church, such as the promise, the congregation has to be in agreement. Otherwise, we ain't going nowhere. Then there's just confusion. So we've got to find out where we're going, and then we've got to move towards that. Now, you know, Jesus had invited many people to come. One time He appeared to 500 people. I believe He invited everybody to this meeting. Everywhere He went for the last 40 days, he kept saying, listen, guys, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be a meeting in Jerusalem. I need you to come to the meeting. Come to the meeting. It's going to be a meeting. It's going to be an awesome meeting. You're going to get filled with power. I need you to come. When He appeared to the 500 people, that's what He did. He invited everybody to the meeting. Don't you think He wanted everybody filled with the Holy Ghost? Of course He did. That's what He was doing. He invited. But how many showed up? 120. What does that say? Even if Jesus invites people, they don't always come. So don't feel bad If you've been inviting people to church, and they don't come, you say, well, they did that to Jesus. I'm no better than Jesus. Yeah? Imagine that. About 20%, maybe, 25% of the people showed up to Jesus' meeting. To Jesus' meeting. But what was the difference? These 120 people came. They were hungry. They were expecting. They wanted more of God. They were not satisfied. And they said, Jesus, if you said so, I'm going. They got into agreement with what Jesus was saying. And you know what? They were unashamed. They said, I'm going to go. They were passionate. They wanted to walk together with other people who are like-minded. And they found the right people at the right place in the upper room. And God met them right there. You know what? This was only the beginning. Everybody say there's more. There's more. So, we're going to fast forward to Acts chapter 4. Peter and John have just been threatened by the priests, the high priests. Do not teach in the name of Jesus again, or we will beat you to death. And then they released them. And the Bible says they came to their own company. We pick the verse, pick the reading up, Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company. Say, own company. They went to their own company, and they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So they told the guys, this is what happened. This is how they threatened us. This is what they said we can't do. We're not allowed to teach the name of Jesus, talk about the resurrection anymore. We have to be quiet about it. And when they heard, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Sounds like the same group. One accord, one mind, hearts and minds together, on the same page, in agreement. Does it sound like it? They lifted up their hearts and mouths to God in one accord, and they said, you, O God, Lord, you, O God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Here's the thing. They started out their prayer with praise and not the problem. First thing they did is when they had a problem, but when they came to God, the first thing they did is, Lord, we worship you. We praise you, creator of heaven and earth. You're the rose of Sharon. You're the lily of the valley. You're the lamb upon the throne. You're the righteous one. You've been raised from the dead. You've got life in you, and you're the resurrection and the life. And Jesus, you're the living one. And thank you. And that's how they started their prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Can we learn something from that? You see, whatever problem you're facing, don't go to God with your problem, because you'll be magnifying your problem. Go to God and magnify Him, and your problem will shrink. Yeah. Yeah. Don't talk to God about your problem. Talk to your problem about God. So they started out. Lord, now behold their threatenings. Behold their threatenings. I want to ask you today, what are you facing in your life? What's threatening your life today? Is divorce threatening your life? Is a loss of job threatening your life? Is illness threatening your life? Are there problems that you're having to deal with? Fear, anxiety, relationship problems, maybe with a husband or a wife or your children. What is threatening you? Financial lack. What is threatening you? These people were threatened. Now, I've got news for you. There's a way that you can go through that problem. And if you can't go through it, go over it. If you can't go over it, go around it. Go underneath it. Or join a group of people who are like-minded, who are eager and hungry for God, of the same mind and heart, and let us move the mountain out of your life as we back you in prayer. Find your company. Find that praying group of people that you know that you can depend upon. When you're in trouble, they got your back. Amen? And Jackie and I say thank you for having our back. Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. Yes. Finding the tribe that you belong to, your company, is more important than you realize. Why? If you haven't heard of this phrase, memorize it. It's called corporate anointing. Corporate anointing. We all have an anointing, an individual anointing. But the Bible says if two shall agree on earth as touching anything. Two, if two can get an agreement as touching anything, it's more powerful than one. But I just seen already two places, and we're going to look at more this morning. When there's a group of people get together and there is a corporate anointing that far supersedes the anointing of the individual or the anointing of the two. And it cannot be substituted. It cannot be substituted. God designed it that way so that people could come together and have a corporate experience, a corporate anointing. And that's what you experienced this morning in our early morning prayer meeting, where about 50% of our church turned up to pray before the service. And then at least 75% or 80% turned up for the praise and worship. Did I say that out loud? Amen. But there's a corporate anointing in that prayer meeting, and there's a corporate anointing in that praise and worship. You can't get it when you're on your own. It's just different. Amen. It's just different. You need to find your tribe. You need to come along and find the group of people that are praying, because this company of people, they went to prayer. They went to prayer in one accord. They went to prayer with the same mind. They were on the same page and they were in agreement. And you know what? They wanted more of God. They were not satisfied with what they had. They wanted more power, more boldness. They wanted a greater anointing. They wanted Jesus to do signs and wonders by stretching out his hand. Raise the dead, Lord. Let's walk on the water. Oh, God, let's shake this place. You know why? They weren't looking to go and run and hide. They were looking to go and rise up high. Right now, people, Christians so-called, looking to hide. Don't let anybody know you're a Christian. Be quiet about the fact that you're a Christian. Don't let anybody know. Don't share your testimony. You might lose your job. Well, if your job depends upon you, you might. But if your job depends upon God, you won't. Amen? You won't. So when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all, how many?
All.
They were all, one more time, how many? All?
All.
All, watch now, they were all what? Filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. People, how come when they get together and they pray this way, they get filled with the Holy Ghost and they get bold? Why would the Bible keep saying, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, if it wasn't so? Or if it wasn't for us. Are you listening to me? Mary, the mother of Jesus, was right there. She is with this group. They're with this group. They're being threatened. And they all got filled again. And filled again. Being filled one time's not enough. Amen. They got it again. Praise the Lord. Hit him again. Give him a double dose. They were all filled. And the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They prayed until heaven met earth. They prayed until heaven came down and shook the place. This wasn't a quiet little prayer meeting in some corner. Are five people going to get together? We're going to have a little quiet prayer meeting somewhere. No, no, no. They prayed until the Holy Spirit showed up and showed up in power. And they were all filled. Listen, listen, tumbleweed Christians, listen. You're going to miss out on this entire experience. You can try to do life on your own. You can try to do life without a like-minded tribe, but you're never going to tap into the divine power and river of life. You're going to have to find this group. You know, tumbleweed Christians just never feel part of the group. They're always on the outside looking in. See, tumbleweed Christians say this. Well, I went to that church and they were so unfriendly, nobody even greeted me. Because tumbleweeds sometimes have thorns. Ouch. Put your roots down. Put your roots down. Become part of this group. Amen? If you're passionate about Jesus, if you're passionate about the Holy Spirit, if you're passionate about winning the lost, if you're passionate about the Word, if you're passionate about seeing the move of the Spirit of God and the sick healed and the dead raised, if you're passionate about prayer, if you're passionate about the Word, if you're passionate about praise, join us in Jesus' name. You found the right people. You found the right tribe. Just get in agreement with us. We're going somewhere. We're not staying where we are. We're en route. Yes. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you. Tumbleweed Christian blowing next week, we're not here. Amen. You need to find a family. You need to find a family where you can get the training and the support you need to live a victorious life and overcome the problems that you're facing. If you're serious about the things of God, hear me now. If you're serious about the things of God, if you do want more power, if you do want a greater anointing, if you do want to see a greater influence in your life, and you want to fulfill the purpose and plan that God has got for your life, listen what you got to do. If you're passionate about the purposes, find your purpose. Find a tribe that's passionate about prayer. If you're passionate about fulfilling your purpose in life, find a tribe that's passionate about prayer. Now, around about this time, King Herod gets the idea that he's going to start persecuting the church. He starts to persecute them, and he loves the reaction he gets. Everybody's loving the fact that he's persecuting the church. So he takes some into prison. He kills some of them. Some of the apostles he even killed. And he decides, I'm going to go and get Peter. I'm going to get the head honcho. If I've got so much fun and so much, if I'm doing little guys, I'm going for the big guy. So they grab Peter and throw him in prison. We pick up the story in Acts chapter 12, verse 4. Now, after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. That's what he didn't reckon on. He didn't reckon on this. And the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, the night before. Say the night before. You know, God loves these last minute rescues. Like he's in the last minute. But you know, God is never late. You know, by the time we get to pray, we think he's late. Because he doesn't show up the same day, he's late. But God is never late. God is always on time. And so even though this is a 12th hour rescue, he's never late. God is not late. So if you have reached the end of the line, if you're hanging at the end of the rope by your teeth, false teeth, God is waiting to catch you when you let go. Amen. He's not going to let you. So don't worry about it. God is on the move. He's going to make something happen for you. All right. So he's in prison, but the Christians are praying. It's a last minute thing. Now, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Peter was what? He was what? Well, you can tell this boy is in faith. He is so not worried, is he? He killed me, it's only gain. I'm going to be with the Lord. Anyway, what can you do to a man who's already dead? So he's in faith. And you know what, people? We have to get back into faith when we're facing circumstances like this. We've got to get back into faith. Now, one of the reasons he could get into faith, because he knew he had a tribe, a company in full agreement, in earnest prayer, seeking God's face. And he knew that when they prayed, God moved, like the song we sang. God moved. And God is ready to move again. You need to have a tribe backing you. You need to have a crowd that can get into agreement on one page. Are you with me? See how that works. So he was sleeping, but he was in faith. Peter was bound with chains. Did you see that? Bible says he was bound with chains. So I have this question for you. I wonder if In fact, I'm quite sure that Satan has been targeting you. He's easy to spot with a flame on your head. He didn't bother you till you got lit up, in a good way. Huh. Amen. He didn't bother you before, but now he's concerned about you because he's concerned if 120 could turn to 3,000 in one morning, what can you do? Amen. And now it's been grown to billions of people and trillions around the world. So he's concerned. What is he doing? He's sending people. He's sending demonic spirits. You might have noticed that things have gone a little sideways. Things might have got a little difficult. Things that were unexpected, like what just happened there? And you can't figure it out. Well, maybe Satan's been trying to put you in chains. And it's possible that some of you are already in prison and in chains. And what's more, he's put guards around you to make sure he can keep you there and you're not getting out. Huh? That's what they did to Peter. Put guards around him. Those are demonic spirits set to guard you in place. And they put you in chains. Satan wants to keep you in prison. He wants to keep you chained up. He doesn't want you to fulfill your purpose and plan. He doesn't want God's power to move through you. He doesn't want you to heal the sick. He doesn't want you to share your testimony. He's going to keep you in chains. Keep your mouth shut. Don't talk about Jesus. Keep it shut and throw you in prison. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Get up, quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off his wrists. One touch from God and your chains are coming off. One touch. Lift your hands and say, one touch. Thank you, Lord. Touch me right now in Jesus' name. My chains are coming off. Amen. One touch. The angel touched him. Man, that's all it took. One touch. Chains just fell off. Hallelujah. Chains just fell off. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes, your sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And the angel told him, angel, follow me. And then Peter followed him out of the prison. But he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought that he was seeing a vision. Now, here's the thing. You get a touch from God, and the next thing you got to do is follow him. Angel said, follow me. See, people get touched by God, and they go right back to what they were doing. They go right back to the prison. They go right back. Go right back. God touches them. Bing, the chains fall off. You're free. You're free. Now what are you going to do? Now it's up to you. He says, follow me. Follow me. And you go, you know, no. I don't have to go to church that often. Yeah, I prayed the prayer when I was a kid. I'm fine. I don't have to go. I don't have to go to the prayer meeting. No. I'm on my way to heaven. Got my ticket. Yeah, I got my ticket. Prayed the prayer. They gave me a little receipt. Little book called God's Plan. I got that. Good to go. I'm packing. I'm good. No, I don't have to ever go back to church. I don't have to go to Bible college. I don't have to go pray anymore. Why? I'm good to go. Good to go back. Good to go back where you were in chains. Back into prison. Listen. We are telling you, follow us as we follow him. Follow us. We're going the same direction. Are you on the same page? Are you on one mind? Let's get this job done. Let's go follow him. Let's not go back to the prison. He set us free. So he comes right out of the prison. Thank God. Thank God he's out of the prison. You understand something? If you think that you're just going to have the touch of God and go back, your best thinking got you to where you are now. Your best thinking. You know what? It's time that you stopped trying to live life your way and start to live life Yahweh. And if you don't know what Yahweh is, it's the name of God in Hebrew. Doing it His way. Amen? Stop trying to do it your way and start to do it His way. There's deliverance waiting for you. There's success waiting for you if you'll do it His way. And they passed the first and the second guard. They walked past them, just standing right there. Who are these people they're walking past? These are people that have stood in your way. Try to keep you back. Try to keep you down. Try to confine you. Try to bind you. Hold you back. And you know what? When God is leading you, you are right past them. See ya. Amen. We're on our way. Those people used to hold you back. Done. Done. No power, no influence. When you're following God, they have no power, no influence. You're on your way in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You're on the way. So they're out of the way. Satan sent them to hinder you. Not so much. God is bringing you to victory. God is bringing you to freedom. Hallelujah. Thank God. Say, thank God.
Thank God.
I belong to a praying company. Then they came to an iron gate leading to the city, and it opened for them by itself, and they went through it. Hear me now. Listen, by the Spirit of the Lord, God is opening doors for you that have been shut, as shut tight as prison doors, as shut tight as iron gates that you had no way of getting through. But in the name of Jesus, I declare right now, those gates are opening of their own accord, and you're walking through them. Angels have been sent and assigned to open your way. God is done with having you confined. He's put you in a company, a tribe of people that know how to pray and seek His face and move heaven and get this place shaken, filled with the Holy Ghost. And He's saying, I'm opening gates for you. I'm making a way for you where there was no way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Gate just opened of its own. And Peter came, when he went down the street, suddenly the angel had left him. And Peter came to himself and he said, now I know without a doubt, I know without a doubt that God has sent His angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. And when this dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John. It's another Mary, called Mark. John was also called Mark. Where many people gathered and were what?
Praying.
Praying. How did Peter get out of jail? People were praying in his company, had his back while he was captive and in Satan's captivity, and he needed deliverance. And they sent a message back to the church, to the crowd, to the group, to the tribe. And they said, get an agreement. Let's get on the same page. Let's get in the same mind. Our brother needs us. People, you are going to need a praying tribe behind you sometime or another. Freedom comes from being part of a family of passionate prayers. God dispatched an angel to deliver Peter because of the passionate prayer that was being made in one accord by the people on the same page. I have an assurance, I have a sense in my heart that on Wednesday night at our P3, angels are going to be dispatched as we begin praying in one accord. Angels are waiting on their assignment right now. And when we pray, they will be given their assignment. And they will be dispatched by those people who are in one accord, in one mind, in agreement in Jesus' name. And who are passionately seeking God for more power, a greater anointing to move heaven to earth and to set people free in Jesus' name. We want more. We're tired of mediocre Christianity. We want more. We want to go deeper. We don't want to be in ankle deep water. We want to be beyond waist deep. We want to be where we can't even stand, where we can swim. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. And you know what else? These guys prayed for boldness. They prayed for boldness. Lord, signs and wonders. We need to be of that group of people that when we get threatened, we say, more boldness, Jesus. More boldness to execute the assignment you've given to me.
Yes.
I'm not going to hang back and get afraid and draw back. No, no. Give me more boldness, a greater anointing, more power. Let me go out and, oh God, give me a tribe of believers that can stand together with me of the same kind, same mind.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
We're going to press in, praise God. We're going to press in as passionate prayers. People in one accord pursuing the plans and the purposes of God at P3.
Amen.
There's enough P's there.
Yeah.
It's funny, when I pray, it happens to me. I said, God, thank you for your peace. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your plans. Thank you for your purposes. Oh, God, thank you for... What is this PPPP thing? What is this? I don't know. It just comes out like that. Lord, thank you for your passion in Jesus' name. And that there's passionate believers all around me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 So I invite you, rise up. That's what I do. Rise up. Let God take you to where you've never been. This is the time, this is the season for people to go on and to get greater and greater things done in the name of Jesus. There's a lost and a dying world waiting for one passionate believer to come along and to release them out of their prison. Shout, I'm the one. Stand on your feet. Come on, I need you to shout some things. Stand up on your feet. Shout this out loud. I'm the one.
I'm the one.
Here I am, Lord, use me.
I'm a passionate believer.
I desire more power. A greater anointing. With boldness. I found my tribe. We're on the same page. In one accord. Pursuing the plans. And the purposes. Of God. For my life. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are you passionate? Come on. 10 seconds. 10 seconds of passion. 10 seconds. Come on. Come on. 10 seconds. Woo! Glory! Rabababa shikere basharabaya. Besiberabashikarabaya bosotoraya. Hallelujah. I got a message for the devil. He's under my feet, so I'm writing it under my shoe. Watch out, devil. The promised church is coming down the middle of the road. You better scatter. Hallelujah. We're in one accord. We're in agreement. We're on the same page. Are you with me? Hallelujah.